right. We're going to get started, and maybe it'd be good for us to just have a word of prayer and jump into today's message. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm excited about some of the thoughts that are here in the scriptures for you, and hopefully it'll be something exciting for you too. All right, so let's pray, and then we'll dig in. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this first week of school and the chance we have to really refocus our minds and our perspectives on what you have for us. And thank you for these young people and their attentiveness throughout this week. And I pray that you help them today. I pray that you would help them to listen and to take what you say and your word and apply it to their hearts and their lives. And I pray that you would encourage them today and give them a vision for all that you want for their lives. I pray that they would leave this place really excited about the potential of what they can do even now for you. Bless this time and help us to be attentive to you this morning, this afternoon, I should say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You see there on your notes, you can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In your teen years, in your time in the youth group, you hear a lot of preaching and teaching on doing God's will, and how, you know, when you get to that place of being 18 or an adult, that you want to go and make the right choices and make the right decisions and live the right kind of life. And perhaps now you sit here as a 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 year old, and you're kind of wondering, yeah, maybe I would like to serve God as an adult. Maybe I would like to do what's right when I have that chance. But I'm a teenager. I'm not an adult yet. I don't know what my future is going to be. And that's okay. And that's okay. But then that leads to a question. What do I do now? What do I do now? If I want to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, what do I do now in my young years, in my teen years, so that it's a time that's actually meaningful? It's a time that's beneficial to me. What do I do now? And that's the question I want to ask and answer from the book of Ecclesiastes. And to be honest with you, the Lord really opened a couple of these verses for me, and I hadn't really seen them in this way before, and so I'm excited to share some of those thoughts with you. Here you go, Gavin. Let's go ahead and read Ecclesiastes. We're going to start in chapter 11 and verse number 9, and we'll read through, and we understand that the chapter divisions weren't necessarily part of the original writings. They just broke it up that way in order to help us find things. And I know they try to even break it up that way with content flow and things like that. We're going to go right into chapter 12, and these thoughts really tie together and go together. So look there, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. The Bible says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Now, from verse 2 all the way down to verse number 7, you have a description of what it's like when you get old. So I'm just going to read it real quickly. Some of those things you're going to be like, huh? What is he talking about? And then we'll just very briefly touch on those things. But basically, it's a description of what happens when you get old. All right? "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after rain." Verse 3. "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few." By the way, that's a really interesting phrase. "While the grinders cease, and they are few." What is he talking about? Yeah, your teeth. Alright? "So while the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low,
and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Of course, you should be familiar with this book and the writer of this book and the context of this book, because Pastor Hammond just preached through it. This is the writings of the preacher, the writings of Solomon as an old man. And from his perspective, he has a perspective as somebody who lived a pretty full life, someone who lived a life that was full of enjoyments, of pleasures. And now he's trying to give that perspective, specifically in this passage, to those who are young. That's to you. And I think there's some very meaningful advice here in this passage about what you can do with your teen years. What do I do now? Well, there's two sets of things. You see them in your notes. Just very simple here this afternoon. The first thing, what do I do now? What do I do with my teen years? Number one, rejoice and know. You see those imperative verbs in verses 9, well, specifically verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, and thy youth, but know. Rejoice, but know. Well, what are we rejoicing in? Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. The enjoyable days of youth are now at hand. Or for some of you who are just coming in to the youth group, the enjoyable days of youth are ahead of you. You understand that, first of all, this afternoon, that your youth is a gift from God. Your youth is a precious gift from God. In your youth, you enjoy things specifically and in a way that you'll never really get to enjoy them before. In your youth, you get to enjoy strength. There's a certain level of strength or amount of strength that are in youth. There's a certain amount of energy and stamina that comes along with youth. It's a fresh period of time. I'm not sure what word I'm looking for, but kind of a, where everything is sharp, where everything is bright, where everything is full. Your youth is a precious gift from God. And we see in verse 9 that God designed your youth to be a time of cheerfulness. Or I think in your notes, your youth is to be a cheerful time. He says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. It's a gift from God. The strength and energy and stamina that you have, it's a gift from God for a limited time. Rejoice in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. What's he talking about? Let thy heart cheer thee. And I was kind of meditating on this a little bit. What does this mean? And why is youth a specific time of cheer? Well, think about your heart. Let your heart cheer thee. Your heart is made up of three components. Your mind, that which does your thinking for you. Your emotions, that which does the feeling for you. And your will, that which does the choosing for you. How does those things bring cheer to your life? Well, think about your mind. As a young person, there's all sorts of things in the world around you. There's all sorts of new things that you can learn. I don't know if any of you would admit this yet, but learning new things is something that's enjoyable. Now, I understand there might be areas where you don't enjoy learning things quite as much. But there are some areas, there are some things that you're interested in, even if you're not quite sure whether or not you should admit to the fact that you're interested in, because you don't want to be embarrassed. But there's something that's interesting to you. For some of you, it is the outdoors. you just love being outdoors. You love learning about hunting or fishing or hiking. You just love it. And man, when you have a chance to learn some new things or experience some new things, boy, that's exciting. And that's a good thing. For some of you, it's doing things with your hands. It's building things. It's fixing things. It's maybe you're even excited about small engine repair class this year because you can learn some things. I wish there was a small engine repair when I was in high school as a teenager. Maybe that's something that interests you. I remember when I was a teenager, this whole idea of computers and technology was brand new. Nobody knew how to do anything, and I could tinker and play around and figure out how to do things. I remember I drove the school secretary absolutely out of her mind. You can ask Mrs. Hedges about this, because she still remembers to this day me coming into her office. And now, I know most of you, this is so easy. It's not even a big deal today. Most everybody knows how to do it. But back then, people didn't know you could change your background or put a scenic picture or whatever. I used to go into her office and change her background for her, just because I found something new I thought she would like. And of course, she didn't necessarily want the change, and she was like, why are you touching my computer? So she got pretty frustrated. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed learning new things. And God has designed your youth to be a cheerful time, as you can get excited about learning and experiencing new things. I think about not only your mind, but your emotions. Youth is a time where you will feel things incredibly deeply. Now, sometimes it's in a negative way, because you can feel negative feelings very deeply. But along with that comes the enjoyment of the positive feelings. It's kind of like colors that are vibrant versus colors that are dull. You know, the different shirts that you're wearing, when they were brand new, they had a certain color quality to them. And now I see that some of them are not new anymore, and the color starts to fade. Your emotions, as you're coming into your emotions as a teenager, they are as vivid and as bright and as sharp as they ever will be. And that's actually exciting, because you can find enjoyment in fresh and new feelings, stuff that you haven't felt before. I noticed this most distinctly in the area of music, how young people respond to music. I was just with a group of kids in North Dakota, and there was the largest church that was there was from Fargo, and there was a group of them, and we got talking about music, and they absolutely love music, and they remind me of some of you. And they are passionate about it. They love it. Almost like it's over the top. And I just sit back and as an adult, I kind of smile and chuckle. But it's a good thing. Enjoy that. The music that they were talking about, the music that they were singing together, the music they were practicing was new to them. They hadn't heard it before. It was fresh. But they wanted to praise God with it. And it was wonderful. They were enjoying those emotions. And God gave you those emotions. God gave the enjoyment of youth for a purpose. It's okay to enjoy it. In fact, that's what the writer says. Rejoice in your youth. God designed youth to be a cheerful time as your mind learns new things, as your emotions feel fresh and vibrant feelings, as you have all of the options when it comes to your will. You have all of the options open for you. That's exciting. You've heard this, I'm sure, in this time of life. I'll say it again, it's true. You can do whatever you set your mind to do. All the options right now are open to you. You could be a rocket scientist. You could be a brain surgeon. You could be a lawnmower. Like, whatever you want to do. And there's nothing wrong with any of those. There's value in all of those things. But the options are all there. You can be whatever it is you want to be. There is a power in the human will, that once you set your mind to something, if you're willing to put the work in, that you can be that. And so all of those options are open to you right now. For me, those options are, you know, starting to fade if they haven't faded already. I don't have as much time. The prime of my life, okay, is not past, okay? So don't go around saying that, all right? But I've already decided I've had to make my choice. Because there is a sad reality. Maturity comes and says, yes, you can be anything you want to be, but you can't be everything you want to be. As soon as you decide I'm going to be a rocket scientist, it pretty much rules out being a brain surgeon because of the amount of preparation that it takes. All right? So I've chosen that those choices, those opportunities, those possibilities, maybe would be the right word, those possibilities aren't as numerous for me as they are for you because you're in your youth. Rejoice in those things. Rejoice let your heart cheer you during this time. Look back at verse 9 again. Rejoice, O young man of thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. In other words, enjoy the walk. As you walk through your youth, don't be guilty of looking forward. If only I could be an adult. If only I could be older. All right? So those of you in seventh grade, you're like, I don't like being in junior high. I want to be in senior high. And then you get to ninth grade, I'm not happy being in senior high. I want to be a senior, you know. You're always about, like, being older. Guess what? You will get older. I promise you that. I guarantee you will get older. And you won't even have to try. It will just happen to you. So don't worry about it. Don't get all upset about it. Enjoy the walk. Enjoy the time you have in your youth. Enjoy the new sights, he mentions, in the sight of thine eyes. Enjoy the new sights along the way. So that's number 3. Enjoy the walk and the new sights that are along the way. Get excited about knowing and serving God during this time of your youth. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's a promise that you have from God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm going to just hit something real quick, because I realize I might have forgotten to do something. This is what happens with old age when your memory is not quite as fresh as it was in the past. All right? And you think, well, I'll remember all of that. I'll remember to do that. I'll remember to turn on my microphone and put up the slider on the board, and then you forget to do that. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I need to do that. So I'm going to do that right now. And all of a sudden, people who couldn't hear me now can hear me. All right? Where were we at? We were talking about the wonders of youth. Get excited about enjoying the time that God has given you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of your heart. So rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But, here's a caveat, but don't forget this. There's something that you need to know. There's something you need to realize. There's something you need to remember. What is that? Your youth is a gift from God, but it is not without accountability. But know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Your youth is a precious gift from God, but it's not a free pass. It's not a free pass to do absolutely everything you could possibly want. There is great accountability that comes with youth. In fact, he repeats this at the end of chapter 12, at the end of the book. It says, for God shall bring every work, this is verse 14 of chapter 12, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And of course, this is a common theme in the Bible.
Romans 14, 12, we're told, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So you've been given a period of time in your life that I believe God wants you to enjoy. God's given it to you to enjoy. But in that enjoyment, there is accountability to God to how you utilize that time. Rejoice, but know something. And because you know that thing, because you know that with this gift comes accountability, because you know that, there's some things you need to remember. Look, verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. The first thing he says is refuse sorrow. And the idea of sorrow here is the idea of wallowing or anxiety or just being low. You know, there's a lot of teenagers that waste the gift of their youth because they're fixated on how sad they are, on how depressed they are, on how certain things are not the way they would like them to be or they want them to be, and they literally blow their entire youth being fixated on all the things that they don't like. And I guarantee you, every single one of them will come to a place where they look back as an adult saying, you know what, I kind of wasted my time. Don't let the cares and the worries of the world rob you from the enjoyment of life that God really intends for you to have. Don't waste your time with wallowing. Don't waste your time with anxiety. Don't waste your time with bitterness. It'll just suck you dry. It really will. It's kind of like, you know, you've got a bowl, you've got a vat of happiness, and you stick the shot back in it and you just suck it dry. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. It's a mistake when you do. You'll regret it. It will take away all the enjoyment of life. And you'll be left with, I know a lot of individuals. My teen years were terrible. And a lot of that was because of the choices they made. Now, does that mean you say, well, you don't know all the bad things that are happening? Well, maybe I don't. But I do know the Bible makes it clear that we're to be careful for nothing, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. We're to be full of care about how many things? Nothing. We're to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You say, but I have some cares in my heart. I have some anxiety. I have some depression. I have some wallowing. What do I do with that? Well, we're told, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Give it to God. Give the worries to God, and then experience Philippians 4 and verse 7, which is let the peace of God. It's the very next verse. Where does the peace of God, which passes all understanding, where does that come from? Well, it comes when I don't allow myself to be careful for all of the things that there's a lot of things that you could worry about in life. If I let all those things kind of take over, then I'm going to have a problem, I'm going to have an issue. But if I instead give those things to God, let my request be made known unto God, guess what? If I do that, the peace of God shall keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. So I've got some cares on my heart. We'll give them to God. Or 1 Peter 5:7, which says, casting all your care, your worries, your anxiety, the sorrow that's in your heart. Learn how to give that to God. Say, God, you know that physically I'm not all that I would like to be. You know I'm not as tall as I'd like to be. You know I'm not as smart as I would like to be. You know I'm not as athletic as I'd like to be. You know this is not the way I want it to be, or that is not. But I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm just going to enjoy the time that God has given me. I'm going to enjoy the good that you have put in my life. We've got to learn how to do that. So refuse sorrow. And then number two, he says, put away evil from thy flesh. You notice that there's a connection of evil with the flesh. Because there's a pitfall in youth where, yeah, we experience things, we enjoy things. There are things that I remember as a teenager I loved. Man, they are awesome. And now it's kind of like, I go back and do them again, but the feeling's just not as strong. Why is that? Well, because in youth, your feelings are the strongest they'll ever be. So enjoy it now, but don't use it as an excuse to live a life that is dominated and governed by your flesh. Be careful of that. Get rid of evil from your flesh. Don't listen to your flesh in how you dress. Don't listen to your flesh in the music that you listen to. Don't listen to your flesh in the TV or the movies or the entertainment that you watch. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. And then he summarizes this at the end of verse 10, for childhood and youth are vanity. And I believe what he's doing is he's matching the theme of the entire book. He's saying all the pleasure and the enjoyments of youthful strength, and there are many of those there. All of those things, though, are meaningless and unsatisfying and empty apart from God. But the encouraging thing is the opposite is true. That all of those pleasures and all of those enjoyments of youthful strength have meaning. They're enjoyable. They're fun. They're things that you're going to look back and say, I'm glad I did those things in my teen years. I enjoyed my teen years because they also came together with the pursuit for God. Can I just level with you for a moment? I know you think I'm old and whatever and I don't relate and all that sort of, whatever. I don't care. I'm just going to, this is my heart. There were a lot of things I could have worried about, and there were a lot of, I'm not painting myself to be perfect in any sort of way. There were some things I wish I could have heard someone say, refuse the sorrow. There were things I didn't like, and I got fixated on those from time to time. But as I look back now, as an adult, I look at my teen years. I look at the experiences that I had. I look at the enjoyments that I had, from all-state choir to missions trips, to youth group, to camps, to chapel, to friends. I look back on all of those things. And you know what? They were a wonderful time. I loved them. I enjoyed them. I have very few regrets, and those regrets are because I went and did things my own way, and there's maturing and things, and you look back on yourself and like, yeah, I wish I would have been a little more mature in that area. But most of those things are things that I look back on now, and I'm glad I did. Part of me wishes I could go back and do them again. But it's just not like it is when you're young. Someone asked me, I think it was in the adolescent psychology class, why do you minister to teenagers? And I told them it's because I sinned in a former life and this is my punishment. No, I didn't say that at all. No, what I said was that there's so many of those things that I enjoyed as a teenager, and I enjoyed in the confines of pursuing after God's will. I had those great experiences that grew me as an individual. And honestly, I'm just leveling with you. I want to see you experience those very same things so that when you become an adult, you don't spend your adult years. And I know a lot of adults who are doing this. They spend their entire adult life running from who they were as a teenager. You don't have to do that. It's not necessary. You can spend your adult life looking back and saying, you know what? That was pretty cool. That was pretty fun. I really enjoyed that. You can do that. The potential is there. I think that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes, this is what Solomon is saying. Rejoice in your youth, but just remember to make sure that you enjoy that within the confines of the boundaries that God has set up. I read this quote from this guy, I don't know who he is, but Richard DeHaan. He said this, the wisdom of young people enjoying life within the limits of their consciousness of God's will and the coming judgment, has been proven in experience. And I read that and I said, amen, my experience. I've lived that. But then he says, those who cultivate a joyful heart while they are young more than likely will be cheerful people through all their days. The one who has learned to trust God in youth and from this step of faith has acquired an optimistic outlook will undoubtedly be victorious when trials come. True, we must walk with the Lord on a day-to-day basis, but the person who has learned to do this in childhood has a great advantage over the one who must begin a life of faith in latter years. And I thought, boy, isn't that true? You set your direction towards the Lord, you get used to enjoying the things that God has given you to enjoy within his boundaries and his confines. You set that direction, boy, you got a leg on a lot of people who have to do that later in life. They've got to turn that ship around and get it headed in the right direction. You can get pointed in the right direction and continue in the right direction right now. So rejoice. Rejoice in your youth and know there's going to be some accountability to that. Enjoy the things that God has given within the confines of that which he's given you. And then to the familiar verse in chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Remember and grow. So rejoice and know. What can I do in my teen years? What can I do now? Well, rejoice and know. But also remember and grow. Who is this command about? Who are we to remember? Well, we are to remember our Creator. Remember your Creator. This is God. This is the one who gives you life. This is the one that you owe your existence. This is the one who made you. And just like when you make something, it's yours, you own it. He made you, and as a result, he owns you. That's your creator. And not only is he the one who made you, but he's the one, just think about this. I think sometimes, and maybe I do this too much as an adult when I'm talking to you. I'm always kind of talking about the things that are enjoyable, but that are sinful. I'm always talking about the pleasures of sin and saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But I think that perspective is not a complete perspective, because your creator not only created you, but he placed you in this world where he created a bunch of other things, and he did that for your pleasure and your enjoyment. God is not against pleasure and enjoyment. In fact, he created things to give us pleasure and enjoyment. Music is something that is hardwired into us as humans. Like, it's designed and it's written in our DNA. Who do you think made music? It wasn't us. God did. God made music. Why did he make music? Now, ultimately, I know it was to praise him, but he knew that we would enjoy it. Why did God create such a plethora of created beings, things, whether from the tiniest insect to the giantest sort of animal? Why did he do that? Well, he did that, I know, to demonstrate his creative power, but he also did it so that we could be like, wow, look at that. That's pretty cool. At the, where is this? I think it's at the aquarium in Camden. They have two hippos. I forget what their names were. But, of course, a hippo is a giant creature. But they have them in this little enclosure, and they're just sort of swimming around, and they're throwing big old heads of lettuce in there. They're just eating. It's so much fun to watch them eat. It's so much fun to watch. Some of you like animals, and why did God create animals? Well, he created them so that we could enjoy them. Why is the world not black and white? Why is the world not monochrome when we go out and climb on a mountain and look at the scene? I love, and we just came back from the Northwest and the scenery there. It's just, it's amazing. Everywhere you look, from the mountains to and the snow on the mountains to the water to the beaches, which are not like, you know, like beaches as we think about them with sand and waves, but there's rocks and trees and they're more rugged. But I mean, the scenery is just beautiful. And there's all sorts of things out there to it. God made all of that. Why did he do that? So that we could enjoy. He's the creator. And today, I want you to know that your creator loves you. He's placed you in a world full of good and wholesome things to enjoy in your youth. Because you'll be able to enjoy them now in a way that you won't be able to enjoy them later on because of how fresh and vibrant and vivid you feel things and see things. 1 Timothy reminds us that it is the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He's a pretty cool guy. Now, I don't want to be irreverent, all right? But he is. He created all these things so that we could enjoy them. And he has a plan. He loves you, and he has a plan for your life in which you will experience joyfulness and happiness and satisfaction and what we all long for way down deep inside, a purpose. Why am I here? He's got something for you. I don't know what that is for you, but I guarantee you if you pursue after it, you'll find out what that is. And you'll have one of those moments, as I have had at various times in my adult life. You'll have a moment where it'll just sort of hit you. This is what I was designed for. This is what I was made for. And you can't even describe the pleasure that in the heart, the satisfaction, the fulfillment. I know why I'm here. And I'm loving every minute of it. Your creator, the one who made all of that. And he has a place for you where you will find happiness and purpose and satisfaction. What are we supposed to do with our creator? Let her be there. What are we supposed to do with him? We are to remember. Remember him. What does that word remember mean? Well, it's more than just don't forget. I mean, it means a little bit more than that. Remember means to honor. It means to commemorate. It means to keep in your mind or retain in your thoughts. This means that God is in my thoughts in everything that I do. In all of the pleasures. Boy, that was fun. Boy, that was exciting. God made that for me. God allowed me to have that experience. God created all of that. See, I keep him in my mind. I also keep in mind that for all these things, God will bring me into judgment. I've got an accountability there. But I keep God and his person in my mind. I think about what a wonderful person he is. I think about his attributes and his character, and not in sort of this ethereal, get the organ out and the big Catholic, oh, he is holy. I mean, yes, he is. Yes, he is, and we should worship him in that way. But his character goes far beyond sort of the detached sort of that way. He loves you, and he's long-suffering, and he's kind, and he's patient with me. I mean, all of those things, it's who, remember, I keep him in my thoughts, who he is. I think about what his perspective is on my life. How does he view what I'm doing? How does he view what I'm involved in? I'm remembering him, and I have the intention in that remembrance of obeying him. I want to do what he tells me to do. Why? Because he's a taskmaster? Because he's barking orders at me? Because I'm afraid of what he'll do to me? I understand we should have some fear of God, but also because he's my creator. He gives me purpose. He gives me a place. He's created all of this for me to enjoy. I want to honor him with that. It comes out of a heart of love. Remembering him with the intention of obeying him because I love him. So who, our Creator? What, we're to remember him? When should we remember our Creator? Look at verse 12. Remember, what's the second word? Now. Remember him now. Not something that you do when you get older. Not something that you can only do when you're an adult. I can only serve God as an adult. No, remember him now, in the days of your youth, before the loss of enjoyment, he mentions in verse 1. And then all those verses we read, before your limbs tremble, in verse 3 it talks about. Before your body is stooped over, in the middle of verse 3. Before your teeth start falling out. Before your eyesight starts failing. And that's the idea. He talks about the windows fading, and the windows refer to your eyes. Before your legs become too weak to walk outside, he talks about that in verse 4, going outdoors and in the streets. Before your hearing begins to fade, before your sleep, you're awakened from sleep by the birds in the morning. And by the way, I do miss the ability to sleep in. I would really like to do that again one day, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. So you can enjoy that. Don't abuse it, but enjoy it. Anyway, before your sleep's halted by the birds, before your fear of heights and other dangers restrict your actions, you can ask Miss Jackie about that and the fear of heights that only just magically kind of came upon her after she had children. Maybe it's because she's watching The Children on the Heights. I don't know. But anyway, before your hair turns white like an almond blossom, he mentions the almond blossoms there in verse 5. Before your pace is as slow as a grasshopper at the end of the season, you know, when it starts to get cold. Before your desire is gone, now. In the days of your youth, now. Now. Why? Letter D. Why? Because our youth is a golden opportunity. Because our youth is a special gift. Because it will soon pass away. In verse 6 and 7, it mentions the silver cord being loosed and the golden bowl being broken and the pitcher being broken. You say, what is he talking about? Well, verse 7 makes it clear. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. He's talking about death. The end of life. Your youth will be gone before you know it. It's fleeting. And so remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Live with an awareness of God throughout your younger years while you still have the desire and the energy to enjoy the things that this life has to offer. The day will come, and it will come soon, when each of us will look back on our younger days and will say, would to God I had done this, or would to God I had not done that, or we can have an adulthood where we say, thank God I did this. Thank God I didn't do that. You're making that choice right now. You're making the choice of whether or not your teen years will be something that you look back on cheerfulness, you look back on with joy and happiness, and what's the word when you look back, not sentimentality, but, all right, it's not coming to me. Nostalgia, there it is, thank you. You can look back in that sort of way, or you can look back with regret. I wish I would have taken the opportunities that I had. I wish I would have enjoyed those things rather than complaining about those things. I wish I would have enjoyed those times rather than just sort of always fighting and chafing at the rules and pushing and shoving. And I wish I would have not wasted my time with anxiety and depression and how my life was not how I wanted it to be. I wish I would have just enjoyed what God had given to me. That's really your choice. Do you want your teen years to be something that you look back on fondly, or your teen years to be something that you regret? You have that golden opportunity. All right, how? Real quickly, and we'll be done. How do I do this? How do I remember my Creator in the days of my youth? Just some very practical things, okay? These are not earth-shattering. But if I'm remembering my Creator, what am I going to do? Well, first of all, if I'm remembering my Creator, I'm going to walk with God daily. I'm going to walk with Him on a daily basis. What a better way to remember God than to seek fellowship with Him. I want to talk with God. I want to hear from God. I want to have a relationship with God. Walk with Him daily. That's how you remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Number two, not only walk with Him, but focus on areas of spiritual growth. Look for areas of growth. What does God want me to do now? What does He want me? I mean, there's a lot of enjoyable areas of service for you if you decide, you know, I'm gonna obey the gospel, I'm gonna follow the Lord in obedience and baptism, and then now I've got all of these areas I can serve God. And I'm gonna tell you, I'll be honest with you, some of my fondest memories were areas I was serving God through my local church. And the times of fun that we had, the enjoyment that we had. Man, it was a lot of fun. I won't get into that because we'll be here all day. You can ask me about it later. But focus on areas of spiritual growth. If you're not saved, all right, okay, let's deal with that. Let's seek the Lord. Don't suffer in silence. Ask for help. Focus on that area and taking care of that. If you're struggling with your salvation, you got some doubts, that's okay. It happens. I went through that. Find some help. Talk to somebody. Get some help. Don't suffer alone. Take those steps of growth. Don't put them off till later. They're not better because you do them as an adult. They're just as enjoyable to do as a young person. So look for those areas of spiritual growth. That's how you can remember your Creator. Number three, in your day-to-day life, remembering your Creator means that you feed your spirit, the part of you that connects with God, and not just your flesh. Be careful about someone who's just a flesh dominance, because that kind of pleasure doesn't satisfy. It leaves you empty at the end. And then number four, how do you remember your Creator? You live by His preferences and not yours. What does God want? And I'm doing that because I know what God wants will bring me the greatest satisfaction. What God wants for me is what will bring me the greatest fulfillment and enjoyment. It will. The pleasures of sin are pleasures of sin only for a season. The enjoyments and the fulfillment of enjoying what God has created, that actually lasts. It has substance to it. It has value to it. So what do you do now? What do you do now? Well, rejoice and know you're in an awesome time of life. Don't buy the lie that you just want to get out of it, that you just want to grow up. Don't buy that, okay? I understand it's good to mature. It's good to grow up. It'll come. But God's placed you here. Rejoice in your youth. Rejoice in it. All the while remembering that what you do now, you're accountable for. You'll stand before God, you'll answer for. So rejoice, enjoy that time within the confines of what He says. And then remember God. Remember to walk with Him. Remember to seek Him. Remember to look for His preferences. Remember to grow and draw closer and closer to Him as you go through life. When you got saved, you started a relationship with Him. That relationship is designed to grow, to get closer and closer and closer. And the closer you are to God, the more that you draw close to Him, the more pleasures, the more enjoyment there is. In fact, the psalmist talks about it. I'm going to mess it up, but he talked about in Thy presence, there's pleasures forevermore as we walk with Him and grow in our relationship with Him. So rejoice and know and remember and grow. That's what you can do now, right now, today. You can do that. Heavenly Father, thank You for this passage, these truths. They are exciting. Thank You for the youth that You gave to me and the enjoyment, the pleasure, the purpose that I found, even in those years. No, they weren't all perfect. I didn't do everything right. So many things that You gave me to enjoy, I was able to enjoy those things. and they are looked back on fondly. And I pray that you'd give some of these young people who love you, that they want to do your will. They have a heart for you. I pray that you'd help them to have young years and teen years just like that. That they would rejoice in how good you are, because you give us all things to enjoy. That they would remember you in the days of their youth and walk with you and draw close to you and be all that you want them to be. Thank you for this time and for this wonderful truth. I pray that we'd apply it even today to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.